asked by a number of you if I was going to sit down and that I better sit down. Wednesday, when I was teaching class, I had a little bit of a bout. Got lightheaded, and we'll let it go at that. And you may think I'm lightheaded most of the time, but that was a little more than realized. So I will sit down, but I enjoy preaching, and so I understand Jesus' words, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The older you get, the more relevant that statement is. I want to encourage you, if you possibly can, to go and join the brethren over at Autanum for their singing. Richard Johnson, who attends class on Wednesday morning, gave us a special invitation, mentioned that it was so good that we had a singing here, and a number of them came. And it would be a good thing if some of us could show up for their singing. So as was announced, the place is in the bulletin where they are meeting, and they'd be glad to have you. In Matthew 13 is a very special chapter. It's special because seven times in that chapter, Jesus speaks of parables. In the passage that was just read just a moment ago, Jesus is asked, why parables? Why parables? And to paraphrase his response, you must simply understand that he was facing difficult challenges. People didn't understand. They didn't want to listen. They didn't want to hear. Even though he would reach out his hand, they did not want to respond. And yet he said to his disciples that he wished to give them a number of very wonderful things. There's a word that I want us to remember this morning, if you don't remember anything else. It's a word that is very relevant to your own spiritual life. Without it, you won't survive. With it, things will open up and you'll rejoice in your Christianity. And that word is recognition. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Two little tiny parables that Jesus will offer to his disciples. He has been speaking a number of these parables to a large group of people. But now he asks his disciples to separate themselves, and they go to a place all by themselves where it's just with Jesus. And this is what he says to them in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 through 46. These are very familiar parables. They're about the kingdom of God, and yet there's much more here that we need to think about. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it he goes, sells all that he has, and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. Upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. So simple. Many sermons have been preached about the pearl of great price. Many sermons have been preached about the treasure in the field. Here's one more. The importance that Jesus wants his disciples to understand is in the word recognition. There wouldn't be any treasure in the field to find if it weren't for recognition. There wouldn't be any pearl of great price if it were not for recognition. You know, when I was in Albany, Oregon, we used to have this. They had little kids there, too. We had a bus ministry. And I learned that you don't say, what do you think about? Because some little kid in the front row would tell me what he thought about it. So I stopped using rhetorical questions. But nevertheless, let's look at these two parables. And let's keep in mind the word recognition. Because without it, the parables wouldn't have really very much sense. So think with me for a minute about these two parables. They are similar, and yet they're quite different. In the parable of the treasure in the field, the man is simply walking through a field. It's not his field, Perhaps it's a shortcut. But as he goes along, all of a sudden, perhaps it's in a box, a sack, whatever the case may be. Maybe it's out in the open. There's a treasure. To him, it's a treasure. He recognizes it immediately and takes steps to have not just the treasure, but the field. The pearl merchant is a little bit different. This is not an accident. He's been searching for a long time to find pearls that are of value. Interestingly, he finally comes to one single pearl. He recognizes it. After all, he's a pearl merchant. He's been seeking the very special one that he had not found quite yet. And so we have these two parables, alike but quite different. Important, I think, to notice this before we get into our study very far. The value of the pearl and the treasure were not within the man who found, but the treasure was a treasure long before he ever walked across that field. The pearl was a treasure, a valuable thing, long before the man came searching for it. The church, the kingdom, and the church is all that we can see of the kingdom. It's the visible manifestation of the kingdom on this earth. We can't see the whole thing, but we can see the church. And the value is there, whether we recognize it or not. The value of the pearl is there, whether it is recognized or not. And so the church does not depend upon us to form its value. The value is there. The value is in the blood of Christ. The value is in what we can see in it and what we make of that seeing. And then again, there is a passage over in the book of Hebrews. As the Hebrew writer, probably the Apostle Paul, comes down to the end of his course in the book of Hebrews, he says this, and I think it's so profound. It's in chapter 12 and verse 28. And the writer will say this: "Therefore, since we received a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe." Listen again. "Therefore, since we received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude." Gratitude. In the book of Colossians in chapter 2, I believe about verses 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul will write about gratitude, about thanksgiving. Read the book of Colossians sometime and underline all of the occasions when Paul speaks of thanksgiving, of thanks, and then that one occasion when it is translated gratitude. That is a very deep word. It's a word that demands some recognition. You can't be grateful for what you don't understand. In our closing song this morning, it will be "Count Your Blessings," because it's a favorite song of mine. But if you don't recognize your blessings, you can't count them. If you don't recognize the spiritual blessings of the kingdom of heaven as outlined by Jesus here, you really can't be grateful for it. You can't be showing gratitude by which we offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. One of the saddest mental issues in our world today is the Alzheimer's disease, the loss of recognition, the loss of recognition, not recognizing one's loved ones, not even recognizing who we are personally, a terrible, terrible disease. And yet Jesus thought of another terrible disease, spiritual lack of recognition. I have three examples. Two are in the book, the 13th chapter of Matthew. One's in John chapter 6. If you go back to our scripture reading of Matthew 13, you'll notice that he is asked why the parables. And then he gives the explanation that he's got to make it as simple as possible. And so he says in as simple times as he can, I'm going to teach in parables because it's the simplest way to get the message across. And yet, the tragedy is, in verse 15, so that they might understand with their hearts, which they don't, return, which they won't, and I should heal them. Sadness. But then again, come over to Matthew 13 and verse 53. Shortly after Jesus has been teaching about his parables, he finishes the parables, and in verse 53, and I want you to watch for two words down in verse 57. When Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there, came to his own hometown, and began teaching them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished. They said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother Mary, his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did he get these things? And they took offense at him. They recognized his miracles. They recognized his family. They recognized his teaching. But they took offense at him. They took offense. One more occasion. In John chapter 6, about verse 59 through 69, Jesus has been teaching about what we know as the Lord's Supper. And yet he's doing it in a very physical way. He has talked to the crowd about eating his flesh, drinking his blood. And so in that passage, there is a misunderstanding. They take it literally. He means it spiritually. But then as you take a look at that, you know, it's a good thing that we had four little kids. I can sympathize with all parents who have little kids. The only good thing is they grow up. And maybe somewhere down the line, they'll take care of you. But nevertheless, we are aware of the challenges of parenthood. But in John chapter 6, when Jesus speaks of eating his flesh and drinking his blood, we can see that he really means the Lord's Supper, but they took it literally. And so some of his disciples will go away. Jesus will turn to his disciples, his apostles, and he will ask them, are you going to go away too? And Peter, much to his credit, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Lord, to who can we go? You have the words of eternal life. And so they stayed, and they stayed. And you have to credit Peter on that occasion. He recognized the value, the treasure, the pearl of great price. But then again, as we go on in our study, we need to recognize this. That there is a challenge in recognition. When you recognize something, immediately there's a challenge to you, and yet there is a reward. Come back with me to the two little parables. When that fellow walked across the field, saw the treasure, he had some possessions. He had, I don't know exactly what they were, but he had a number of possessions. He decided that the treasure in the field and the field itself were so valuable that he would sell everything he had to buy the field and have the treasure. The pearl merchant had been seeking goodly, quote, pearls, plural. He comes to one pearl, And he is willing to sell all that he has to have that one pearl. Recognition sometimes is a costly thing. And yet there's a reward. But at the same time, go with me a little bit further in the book of Matthew, and you come to Matthew chapter 16. And again, it's Peter that will remark. Jesus will come now to Caesarea Philippi, and he will say to his disciples, "Who do men say I am?" Well, they said, some are saying Elijah, some Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Maybe you're John the Baptist. We know he was dead. Maybe he is resurrected. Obviously, many people didn't know who he was. No recognition. But then comes this most sobering question. Peter and you apostles, who do you say I am? And that is a question that resonates with every single one of us. If Jesus were here, that's the question he would ask. Who do you say that I am? Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." If we go a step further, the power of that confession is this: "And I say to you that you're Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell will not prevail against it. Peter, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then a bit later on, after the church has been established and it faces very difficult times, again the Apostle Peter will write to the Christians who are struggling with all sorts of things. When I was working on this lesson, I got a note saying that Earl Wickersham was facing possible paralysis because of his neck, because of the disease that is taking a toll on his body. And I thought about all the others in our congregation who are struggling with health issues, with other kinds of problems, situations that won't go away, that are just there. And so I thought I needed something in the lesson that would speak to them, that would say not only is there the challenge and recognition, but there is a reward in the recognition. It may be that disease will not go away. It may be that the problem will continually be there. And so we need something that shows us that there is a worth in the recognition. Go back with me just for a moment before we look at this passage. When the man looked at that treasure in the field, not a question in his mind, "I'll sell everything I've got to have that field and that treasure." And the cost was no problem. Not a bit. No problem at all. The man who found that special pearl, one little pearl, and he will sell everything he has to have that pearl. Again, no problem. Cost is no problem. And I think then of all of the things that might pull us away, that might cause us to get a little bit cloudy with what we recognize or have recognized. And so this passage of Scripture came to mind. It is the reward for the recognition. The Apostle Peter, once again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 8. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory. Is there a reward for our recognition? Is there a reward for recognizing the treasure in the field or the pearl of great price? We take a look at our world today, and we wonder why it is that we seem to be losing contact with God. Perhaps it's because we don't recognize the value of knowing God. We have a world that thinks they can travel on their own wisdom and intelligence. And obviously it's not there. But God is there. Jesus told these parables for a purpose. And the purpose is that we would know the importance, the significance, the power of our recognition. Imagine that you look at the church, that you look at your faith like a treasure in a field, which you've discovered. Didn't maybe intend to, but you were walking along life's path, and there it was. And you recognize that's exactly what you need. Or perhaps you're one of those who is searching, and you've searched and searched. You have an idea of what you want, what you need, what you're looking for. And all of a sudden, there it is, that little pearl. And it is so valuable. Cost is no problem at all. And you will have it, and you will pay the price. I want you to think for a moment about your confession of faith, your repentance of sin, your baptism for the remission of sins, your walk of faith, your worship, all those things that make up your Christian life. That's the cost. But if you recognize the value, the cost is no problem. The cost is no problem at all. One more challenge. After this man had the treasure, after the pearl merchant had the pearl, they were his. Did the treasure cease to be a treasure? Did it just gradually dim in value? Pushed into a closet, forgotten. And that pearl, did it become not so valuable? It was a little tarnished. You dropped it in a drawer and forgot about it. We don't want that to happen. Recognition is not a one-time thing. Recognition is an altogether part of the Christian life. I want to close with a couple of other things that need to be said. How does this recognition come? The man who was walking across the field, and others surely went across that very same field. Why didn't they see the treasure? Maybe as Jesus began Matthew 13, they were blind, couldn't see, weren't interested. We're looking in some other direction. But the man that found the treasure, he found it because he was open to recognition. You may be here this morning, and that's where you're at. You're open to recognition. And the man who found the pearl and sold everything to have that pearl, he was looking. He was searching. I have been in discussions with people who have been searching. When I was preaching in Vallejo, because of our proximity to Interstate 80 and to San Francisco Bay Area, we had a lot of visitors. I can remember on one occasion, two ladies that I had never seen before. And I met them as they got ready to go out the door. And met them and thanked them for coming. And their comment to me was, "We're just looking. We're just searching." And I invited them back, and that was about all that we could do. Lots of people like that. On occasion, we have visitors in our congregation. If we could really get to the bottom of it, they're searching, they're looking, they want to find something of meaning. And so these two parables, though very short, have significance in our spiritual life. And then I want to close with a passage that I find so significant that I've probably overused it in preaching. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 seem to me to be the icing on the cake of our two parables about the man and his treasure and the man and his pearl. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling you. And I want to change that word hope to recognition. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may recognize the hope of his calling you, the riches of his inheritance in the saints, the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. There's something in the little parables that ought to touch our hearts, because hopefully we understand we have found the treasure in the field. We have found the pearl of great price. We've even paid the price. It's ours to hold on to and to rejoice in. If you're here this morning and you are visiting with us, think about your spiritual life. Think about your relationship to God. We can help you obey the gospel, become a child of God. It'd be our greatest joy to see you confess your faith, to see you baptized for the remission of your sins, to see you with the pearl of great price in your hand. You're here and you have a problem with recognition. You're not really sure that it's all that valuable. Take a second look, my friend. Without God, where are you? Without Christ, where are you? You're here and there's some way we can help you. Would you come while we stand and sing?